Could you tell us about your visit to Latin America, and tell us when it happened and, you know, what it was like, what transpired?
Well, this was an idea first by American Free Press to try to do an outreach with Venezuela. And I was in contact with Christopher Bowling, the writer for AFP. And then we thought about inviting Jimmy Walter to help with the expenses and the whole outreach.
Who's Jimmy Walter then?
Jimmy Walter is a millionaire philanthropist that has been the person that have put more than $6.5 million of his personal fortune to try to get an investigation reopened about what happened on 9/11. And at that time, I was the spokesperson of reopen911.org, his organization. And so we all went over there, and we set up a base in Isla Margarita, Margarita Island, because the area was impossible to get to the city of Caracas. While we were there on this surfing island, we were told that an FBI agent went around asking for the list of the guests of the hotel that we were staying. So we got very scared. And I was doing already television presentations and radio presentation, you know, calling for, you know, the head of Bush on an international criminal court. And to have this guy going and asking for this kind of information in an area where he has no jurisdiction whatsoever, because the FBI has no jurisdiction in Venezuela, I just, you know, was motivated enough to mention it on TV. I mentioned it on TV, and what a surprise. We get a call from the palace. They wanted to meet with us. They wanted to meet with us, and especially the president of the National Assembly, Nicolás Maduro, who is now the second man in power in Chávez's government. He is the chancellor now of foreign relations. And we went over there, and I had the meeting with the guy where he said that he knew that everything about 9/11 was a lie. That even 2 months before this happened, through intelligence from the Cuban government, they knew it was going to be a big event. Not when, but it was going to be a big event happening soon. And that was 2 months before. So they have prior information as well. It's been the talk on the whole international community. Intelligence community. When I finished my conversation, he said, "Well, now I have the surprise for you. The reason that I call you is not only because I believe your story, second, because I check you out with the intelligence and you are the real thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And third, because we are afraid for your life. We are so afraid for your life because your own government, if they send somebody to check you out there, we already checked that person that went to check you out there. And we believe you. And we are going to protect you because your own government will make a hit on you here and blame us." And you know the relationships between Venezuela.
So they were saying that possibly the FBI or someone like that might kill you in Venezuela and blame it on the Venezuelan
Correct.
government.
They will do it and blame it into the government to create an international excuse for whatever they wanted to do. And for them to give me at that moment five bodyguards, they gave me five bodyguards. They said, "While you're in Venezuela, you are our guest and you will be protected." That's exactly what they said. "You are going to be protected." Five bodyguards, round the clock, protected. And but for them to say that is that they check this information about this supposedly FBI agent, and they find out that the whole thing is true. And remember, the government of the United States have been trying to practically create a debacle on the government of Chávez, funding the opposition, creating false flag situations there. I mean, one thing after the other. So they know what's going on. And that's when I asked for a formal investigation about 9/11. And they said, "We will help you. We will find a way, but we will help you." And I worked with them for a whole year, back and forth. And Nicolás Maduro was true to his word. The National Assembly in September came out with a resolution questioning 9/11 and asking that they explain why they did an auto-coup, self-coup.
Coup?
Yeah.
Is this a military coup or some sort?
Exactly. And now I'm working with them to create an investigation.
So, I mean, essentially what you're saying then is that it was not the whole government that carried out 9/11. It's factions and elements within the government.
Correct. It's not the whole government. It's just specific groups within the government, operatives, controlled just by a very, very high-level ranking person from the government. That's exactly what it is.
Are you able to name names at all?
No.
Okay, because I know some sort of there have been fingers pointed at particular generals in the special forces who were running exercises on that day. But anyway, how did you find Latin America? Because obviously you're from Puerto Rico yourself. You know, yes. Imagine Spanish speaking, and you know, Latin America would be your natural territory.
That is correct. Actually, it was beautiful because I have, I have this huge accent in English, and sometimes I have to fight with the words because I'm thinking first in Spanish and translating. When it comes to Spanish, my Spanish, the only thing that I can be proud of is my verbal skills when it comes to Spanish. I can convey the message. I can actually tell them with more force exactly what we believe and what we understand was the truth. And I am received and respected. And also, my story have never been edited on Latino International News. And I am the expert for Univision Network, which is the largest network of Latinos in the United States. And by Telemundo, who is owned by NBC. And even though I get edited on NBC, Telemundo will present my whole story without any kind of creative editing. Really good.
What is your experience of censorship? Have you found your message, as someone who is a key person who has managed to see a great deal, has an eyewitness to 9/11, see a great deal of what happened that day, knew the building inside out. Have you found your message censored? And if so, when and why?
Well, yes, many times. Constantly. It's a recurring factor that my message is always controlled. I am, like you said, an eyewitness, and at the same time, I am a representative of the families and the family's interest. It's funny how I can be the expert for several television stations, networks in the United States, but when it comes to what happened and the event of what I experienced, that never gets on the air. It's always edited. So my experiences have been really negative with all the major networks. For example, NBC sent a crew for 8 hours to film me for a television program, and they never aired, not even a second. And then I realized that it was just a debriefing. They wanted to know for camera, what did I know? What did I have in my experience that could be damaging? Because
Do you think NBC are really that close to, you know, bad elements in the government?
Yes, definitely. Oh, I'm not only saying it, but I'm telling you because of the experience that I have. For example, ABC have a senior executive producer called Chris Pasternak, who is the top honcho there, who sent a crew also to do an interview, and they didn't hear anything. And when I sent a reporter to ask what happened, he said that they don't comment on the techniques when it comes to covering news. And he got very angry and very upset that, you know, they were asking him questions. So, you know, we have here a concerted effort, again, to debrief me constantly, to find out what I know, what I'm finding out, and then not putting it on the air. Because they figure, okay, he will talk for the media, he will tell the media, that way we can get to know exactly what he has in mind or what kind of evidence. So I learned the hard way to hold them onto the key factors of what I'm finding out in terms of evidence and things like that.
So, does this affect the way that you deal with the press? I mean, if you get a call and they say, "Come in to our studio," you know, maybe you're thinking to yourself, "Well, why should I?" Because you won't transmit the material.
Because you never say no to an interview. Never. You always say yes to an interview. No matter how bad or how small the newspaper or the radio station, you always say yes because one way or the other, a little line will carry a lot of the message. So you want to get that message out. That's why you do it. That's why, even though, like I said before, it's being manipulated, but I try to control my message as much as possible. Because it's the only thing that I have in terms of experience, and at the same time, because I have so many bad experiences with the media, that I know how to convey that idea. But you have to do it. You have to get the information out. You have to let people know, because if they say, "Well, this guy is saying something, and apparently he's not saying too much. Let's look on the internet." If they look my name on the internet, they get 2 million hits. 2 million hits, and somebody will get the information that they want. So that's why it's so important.